That's how people drift apart. They go into autopilot mode. They go into functional conversations. They go into a state of just going through the day-to-day life without needing to actually add on to one another in interactive space. And that's where many couples find that they are disconnected.
Hello and welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I'm June and I'm your host for this episode. If you're new to us, do subscribe to our Connect to podcast on your podcast platform, where we believe you discover interesting topics and helpful conversations. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow deeper, closer, and stronger in your marriage. Today, we are talking about what actually makes a marriage healthy, not perfect, but resilient, connected, and able to grow through difficulty. In this episode, we speak to Delia Ng, CEO of Focus on the Family Singapore, as she unpacks the Focus Marriage Model, a framework that helps couples move away from silent drifting and unhealthy dependence and towards responsibility, safety, and deeper intimacy. Welcome to the Connect2 podcast, Delia. Maybe start us off by telling us why it takes a community to raise a healthy marriage. So what is the healthy marriage model? Can you tell us a bit more? Would you be able to share a story to illustrate this focus marriage model?
I would like to credit the focus marriage model to the practice of Dr. Robert and Jenny Paul, as well as Greg and Erin Smalley, because it is through their counseling practice in the US that actually helped them to derive and formulate the references that we have been able to take a reference to, which is the 10 marriage traits and also the healthy marriage model. And actually, it's from their experience in the remedial side of the work that actually helped them to formulate this whole aspect of preventive work and highlight to us which are the aspects that is most critical for us to attend to when helping marriages. It's very interesting because when couples come together, I recall one of my friends say that her father called them the yotiao. You know, yotiao, do fritter, right? Stuck to each other by the hip. Okay, so imagine with me, there's a couple called David and Ruth. When they first got to know each other, they really developed such a close relationship, very shared interests, shared hobbies, everything they do together. Go out with friends also, everyone will go together, right? And then they eventually got married. And then the same expectation of always being together was part of it as well, you know. When Ruth wants to go out with her friends, David tags along. When David wants to go out with his friends, Ruth also tags along. And this sense of presence or oneness was something that they really believed in. But actually, it was later on throughout the course of the marriage, then they realized that actually David's sense of wanting to always stick to Ruth, right, is because undergirding it, right, was actually this sense of protectiveness. Not sure whether I always want to be where Ruth is, right? So David is like, I just want to tag along with you. Every decision that Ruth wants to make, I need to have a say in it, right? And then Ruth, she also feels that, yeah, you know, actually, after all, David is doing this because he wants to protect me, ma, right? And then, and at the same time, I want to give him the sense that he has that influence and that say over my life. But over time, actually, Ruth felt very suffocated because she couldn't actually have a sense of individuality. And over time, she actually felt that I don't have space to even discover my own interests, my own sense of well-being. Whenever she tried to actually go and explore something else, David is like, why not you bring me along with you? Why can't I just go along with you? Yeah. And over time, there was this sense of like, actually, I don't know whether I am able to grow as a person. On the contrary, we like to propose this concept of a healthy marriage model. And what do we mean by this? In a healthy marriage model that Focus on the Family has developed, is the perspective that there are two whole and full individuals that has come together into the marriage relationship, and they are excited about the direction that their marriage is headed to.
I think some of us can relate to that struggle, that sense of uncertainty about where one spouse ends and the other begins. So what can we do in this situation?
A lifetime of love and romance requires intentional effort and attention. Yet in times of busyness and with overwhelming priorities to tend to, our marriages can often take a back seat. No matter the state of your relationship today, we want to help you and your spouse thrive. Check out Connect 2, featuring specially created experiences and resources, our favorite selection of articles, top hits on our podcast, date ideas, conversation starters, and more to address the issues that are keeping you and your spouse apart, and to help you rekindle the joy of pursuing one another. Visit www.family.org.sg/connect2 today.
So let me expound on this a little bit more. Two healthy adults build a healthy marriage. As an individual and a healthy, responsible adult, I am not going to look to my spouse to attend to these needs that I have. As a healthy and responsible adult, I need to actually recognize that there are life needs. So whenever there are needs in my life, when there are certain conversations or incidents that happens in life and we have an emotional reaction to it, sometimes it could point towards something that's deep-rooted within us that we have brought along into our adulthood. Now, every one of us actually have a relationship with ourselves. It's the thing that goes on in our minds, all right? So a healthy thought life actually ruminates, learns how to actually think about, okay, when this incident happened, when these words were said to me, I felt this way. Actually, what is it revealing about me? So there's this healthy sense of self. But an unhealthy sense of self is one where something happens and then we feel triggered, right? And that actually brings about a sense of rumination. Oh, maybe I'm worthless. Actually, I'm feeling rejected. Now, actually, this person is bound to actually leave me one day. And all these negative self-thoughts that might come. So these are times where if we are not attending to our life needs, the negative self-thoughts actually fester even more. And the key question is this. Do the demands of our life exceed the resources that we have? Which means to say all of us have a capacity, a tank within us. And often you will hear it being alluded, a love tank, right? But actually, all of us have this, I would say, a tank that is not just about love or the emotional needs, but it's really about our physical livelihood, our body, physical needs. There's also the aspect of us having an inner self, which is the emotions and the things that we go through within internally. And then there's also social self, which is having a fellowship with others. And then there's also the essence, which is a sense of purpose that transcends the present. So let's come back to Ruth and David. So Ruth and David, they discover that, yeah, you know, actually I shouldn't just be always dependent on my spouse to fill my needs. And then David decides that, yeah, actually I realized when I was younger, going for a jog was very refreshing for me. So he's like, okay, I'm going to discipline myself and set aside time for these jogs. So that's carving out time for his life and his living body. And the other side is Ruth, right? She realizes that actually there's this aspect of her that was dismissed because she actually loves creative arts. She really loves expressing herself through art. And when they started dating, she actually put it aside because actually David doesn't really like it. But now she's like, maybe I should rediscover this aspect of myself because when I'm doing that, I get refreshed in my ability to discover my sense of expression, self-expression, and even being able to ponder and reflect upon the season I'm going through. And that is a healthy outlet for her. Yeah, so that is actually one of a possible way when even individuals within a marriage come to realize that they are not fully dependent on each other to meet the needs, but actually learning how to cultivate a healthy self in order to develop their individuality. So you can liken it this way, all right? A husband and wife are like two strong pillars holding up the same roof. And sometimes we bring in the side of where we are easily frustrated, easily irritable. And that happens in the interactive space too. But at the same time, when we are learning how to be refreshed in our personhood and we come into the interactive space, it allows the interactive space to be welcoming. It makes the interactive space something that we look forward to come into and look forward to actually hearing each other out. Hey, what did you discover when you went out to learn this today? Or actually, when you went to hang out with your bros, what was one thing that was really enjoyable? And things like that, actually, they come in with this sense of excitement and enthusiasm to even cultivate a relationship there. But we also know that there are some times when people come into the interactive space feeling tense. Because the spouse might have come back from work after having such a long day with all the demands, maybe some targets are not met, and spouse feels very stressed and tense. And they come into interactive space having not decompressed yet. And there might be a heightened sense of self-preservation or maybe even easily provoked. And that happens.
So how do we help couples to realize that a vibrant interactive space in a marriage is something that they can learn how to safeguard?
Each time when they come into an interactive space, it doesn't mean that everything is rosy all the time, but that they are ready and prepared. That even in my most vulnerable state, I am able to be open to you about what I'm going through. I have already thought about some of the things that I've gone through in a day, and now I'm here to share with you that actually when this happened or when my colleague said that about me, it actually made me feel this way, right? And that is where the interactive space helps to build one another up. It is when couples actually don't know how to interact in the interactive space that they start to drift from each other, because they find that when I come into this interactive space, there's so much pressure or tension that I would rather not do it. I would rather avoid feeling like I need to actually come closer. And hence, that's how people drift apart. They go into autopilot mode. They go into functional conversations. They go into a state of just going through the day-to-day life without needing to actually add on to one another in interactive space. And that's where many couples find that they are disconnected. However, it is when we are in the place of feeling these tensions in the interactive space, if we learn the ability to talk through our thoughts, talk through how we're feeling, and go deeper in the connection there, then that's where the marriage actually grows. And that's where couples discover a greater sense of intimacy with one another. Because we know that actually conflict is the process we go through to deepen intimacy. If we don't go through conflicts with one another, actually we do not get a chance to even see each other in a different light. But it is because in the safety and the sense of stability of a marriage boundary that enables people to feel that it's okay for me to be vulnerable. That even if my spouse sees me in my weaker state, I know that he or she will not leave nor forsake me. This lifelong commitment promise that we have to each other, and it's a boundary that no one else gets to enter into this space with me. So I think that's the reason why we find that having a shared language when we engage with the couples that we talk to, having a shared language helps us to actually help a couple to see that, yeah, maybe this is where I might have mistaken. This is where I do need to take personal responsibility here. Maybe we don't feel safe to talk with one another because we're not sure whether we will really stay with one another through life's seasons in life. Many couples actually find it difficult to go deeper in their conversations, but intimacy really happens when we don't just go through the facts of the day, like, this is what I ate, this is where I went to, but really about, you know, this is what I read about and this is what I think about it. Or maybe even, this is what I'm observing is happening to me, or this is what I'm observing about us, and I'd like for us to talk about it. And when we are able to have those conversations in a safe environment, that's where couples feel that they can go deeper and cultivate intimacy.
Right, so becoming healthier as individuals can help make the marriage a stronger one too. Thank you, Delia, for your insightful sharing. There is so much wisdom in that last line you said. Conflict doesn't destroy intimacy. Avoidance does. And relationship safety comes not from perfection, but from commitment, responsibility, and a willingness to try again. If today's episode resonated with you, here is a question you can reflect on with your spouse. What would it look like for us to show up more whole and present in our marriage? We hope you found today's episode helpful and encouraging. As always, do share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you for tuning in.